welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, a joint operation between the U.S. Marshals Service and Clayton County led to the seizure of illegal drugs and firearms and more than 75 arrests. Current gas prices in Georgia are below the national average, and a new bill awaiting the governor's signature will make it more difficult for homeowners associations to foreclose on members' homes over financial disputes.
This bill will help people because they will have somewhere else to go other than the court.
Today is Friday, April 10th. I'm Chase McGee, and this is Georgia Today. A three-week operation by the U.S. Marshals Service and Clayton County law enforcement has led to 78 arrests and the recovery of 46 illegal firearms, 57 pounds of illegal narcotics, and the seizure of $18,000. The operation was to apprehend individuals wanted for violent and serious felony offenses, including murder, aggravated assault, armed robbery, child molestation, rape, and weapons-related offenses. The Marshals Service reports cooperation with multiple agencies led to the apprehension of 16 violent fugitives prior to the official start of the operation, and an additional 28 violent offenders were arrested during the operation. Spring break travelers hitting the road today will find gas prices in Georgia below the national average. AAA says the average price in the state is $3.73, which is actually down from yesterday and below the national average of $4.15 a gallon. Advocates for better healthcare access in Georgia say the state has taken an important step in attracting more medical professionals. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more on recently passed legislation awaiting Governor Brian Kemp's signature.
Georgia consistently ranks at the bottom nationwide for access to healthcare and affordability. SB 427 helps bring doctors from outside the country to work in the state's rural counties, licensed hospitals, and medical schools. Natalie Crawford is the executive director of healthcare advocacy nonprofit Georgia First. She says the bill creates a limited provisional license for internationally trained physicians to practice medicine under supervision.
You know, we feel like that's an important step in attracting more talent, more medical professionals to Georgia, especially in rural areas. Where oftentimes, you know, we don't have adequate access to care for patients.
Crawford says their number one priority remains Medicaid expansion in Georgia. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
A Fulton County jury has awarded a $58 million verdict to a Stanford University professor in a long-running case that alleged he was maliciously arrested. Attorneys for the professor, James Quinn, say the verdict against a Metro Atlanta-based medical adhesives product manufacturer, Chemints, is one of the largest of its kind in Georgia. Quinn claimed the company orchestrated his wrongful arrest on felony charges in an effort to intimidate him in a contract dispute. Among the more popular bills state lawmakers passed this year was a measure that would make it more difficult for homeowners associations to foreclose on members' homes over financial disputes. Among other provisions, it would establish a hearing process for HOA members to challenge their association's decisions. Caroline Simmons has been in a long-running dispute with her Metro Atlanta HOA over the cost of new water meters.
This bill will help people because they will have somewhere else to go other than the court. Courts will cost $350 for an attorney per hour, where this, it's not free, but it gives us some place to go and have our dispute heard and a process that is not going to cost us thousands of dollars.
The bill passed with broad bipartisan support and is waiting for Governor Brian Kemp's signature. Another popular bill on Kemp's desk has driven Georgia's music industry advocates for years. It would create a Georgia Music Office, similar to the state's film office, to promote and support Georgia music. Mala Sharma of the advocacy group Georgia Music Partners says the office will amplify job-creating investment already taking place.
Venue expansions, arenas, recording studios being built, projects being recorded here that are reaching number one on the charts. But without a statewide music office kind of sharing and amplifying that message, some of that information just isn't out there. It's not readily accessible.
The bill aims to create a central hub for the industry and help cities and counties strengthen local music economies. A Macon church director has been charged with stealing or mishandling more than $500,000 of the church's money. The Bibb County Sheriff's Office says the scheme allegedly lasted from 2022 until October 2025, when Riverside United Methodist Church abruptly closed. Tiffany Allian Watson, the church administrator and co-director of Riverside United Methodist Church Children's Center, was charged with 9 felonies, including violating the RICO, or Racketeering, Influenced, and Corrupt Organizations Act, as well as first-degree forgery, theft by deception, theft by conversion, computer theft, financial identity fraud, fiduciary theft by taking, money laundering, and evasion of income tax. She was booked without bond. The South Georgia United Methodist Conference recently hired a forensic accountant to investigate the church. They found suspicious and fraudulent activities, so the conference reported this to the sheriff's office. A new study from the University of Georgia looks at how birds move in diverse habitats and what that could mean for the spread of avian influenza. Previously, researchers focused on long migratory flight paths and where birds might spread the disease. Claire Teitelbaum is an assistant professor at the University of Georgia and an assistant unit leader at the U.S. Geological Survey. She led a more recent study of more localized trips that birds make outside of migration.
So they need most notably a place to sleep and a place to eat, and those aren't the same place. So if you have those two different types of habitats that are close to each other, then they're not going to have to travel as far to be able to get everything that they need.
And if a bird doesn't travel far, that's a smaller area that they might spread avian influenza. Teitelbaum says she hopes this research will impact management strategies to prevent future outbreaks. In honor of the United States' 250th anniversary, the National Archives is flying 9 original documents from the founding era across the country. The most recent stop is here in Georgia at the Atlanta History Center. GPB's Devens Wald reports.
The documents arrived in Atlanta in a Boeing 737 with commemorative Freedom Plane livery to a water cannon salute and the national anthem sung by Georgia tenor Timothy Miller.
Good afternoon. My name is Patrick Madden. I am the CEO of the National Archives Foundation. Thank you for this warm welcome. The Freedom Plane tour highlights
an 1823 engraving of the Declaration of Independence and Oaths of Allegiance of George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, who signs as Alex Hamilton, and Aaron Burr are 4 of the 9 documents that are part of this Freedom Plane National Tour. They're on display at the Atlanta History Center through April 12th. Jesse Kratz is an historian with the National Archives and the curator of the traveling exhibition. She says the archives had 2 purposes when choosing the documents.
It captures really the beginning of our story in 1774 all the way through the final proposal of the Bill of Rights in 1789. But in addition, we also wanted to capture the spirit of the National Archives Rotunda. And we have the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution on permanent display. So we wanted to bring versions of these documents to the American people.
That includes a Senate markup of the Bill of Rights.
And it is the printed text of the Bill of Rights is the 17 amendments that the House proposed. And then over that, you see the Senate had X'd some out and amended some and changed some wording to make that the 12 amendments that were eventually proposed.
She says the 17 amendments were consolidated into 12, and amendments 3 through 12 were ratified to make the Bill of Rights. The first 2 were cut.
So you kind of see from this document that, you know, the Bill of Rights just didn't come down finished as a perfect document. There was a lot of give and take and compromise. And this is an excellent document that it shows how that came to be about.
This is one of Sheffield Hale's, president and CEO of the Atlanta History Center, favorite things about the documents.
See that, and you can see how they negotiated, and you can see how the documents changed, and you can see the real signatures, like on the Treaty of Paris.
The Treaty of Paris formally recognized the United States as an independent nation.
But you have the signatures there of John Jay, Benjamin Franklin, and John Adams. You can read clear as day. To me, that's just, it's, you know, it takes you there in the history. It takes me back.
The lights in the room where the documents are displayed are dim. The temperature is controlled and the humidity is kept at a certain percentage. Visitors are given a viewing time slot to control the crowds. It's all part of keeping the documents safe, says Hale. Hale was part of the ceremony when the Freedom Plane arrived in Atlanta. He witnessed the National Guard unload the custom-made crates that kept the documents safe during the flight.
And then when they get here, I went and saw the curator taking them out, and be able to see them, you know, right in front of me. And personally, it's been a high point in my career.
The Atlanta History Center says the exhibition is sold out. After Sunday, the exhibition flies to Los Angeles. For GPB News, I'm Devins Wald.
Coca-Cola plans to roll out new bottles and cans celebrating the nation's 250th anniversary. The Atlanta-based beverage giant said this week its new packaging will celebrate the 50 states, Puerto Rico, and D.C., with the Georgia design featuring a peach. Springtime is in full bloom, and the weather across the state looks amazing. It will be a wonderful weekend to get out there and discover something new. Here are a few things happening across the state. This weekend is the 90th Atlanta Dogwood Festival, and Atlanta police say they are increasing security. Police Chief Darren Shirebaum said Thursday the move comes after a deadly shooting in the park last Saturday.
Last week has led to some adjustments this week. Additional officers will be placed in the park, both on foot, bicycle, and horseback. We have additional officers on foot, vehicle, and motorcycle patrolling the street.
APD is also encouraging festival goers to take MARTA and report anything suspicious. If you do plan to come out, please be sure to stop by and say hello at the GPB tent. In addition to Atlanta, there's also the Perry Dogwood Festival and the Tallapoosa Dogwood Festival. You'll find the 4th annual Valdosta Blueberry Festival featuring the Atlanta Rhythm Section as a headliner. Waycross has Swamp Fest. There's the Conyers Book Festival, a free block party in Lawrenceville called the Lawrenceville Boogie, and America's is home to the Hot Glass Craft Beer Festival. The National Grits Festival is this weekend in downtown Warwick, Georgia. And finally, in Hiawassee, there's both the 12th annual Georgia Mountain Storytelling Festival and the Rhododendron Festival. That's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. If you haven't yet, hit subscribe on this podcast. Take a moment right now and keep us current in your podcast feed. If you've got feedback, we'd love to hear it. Email us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Chase McGee. Have a great weekend.